Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
We are in this series, The Fragrance of Humility, Session 7. We've done 6 sessions talking about humility. This is kind of fun. We've got tonight's and one more. And tonight, Session 7, is entitled The Safety of Submission. And this is actually, this is info you don't really care about, but it'll remind my heart to get me started tonight. This was actually the first session that I wrote for this series, and I was just seeing all these Bible verses and about the concept of submission and how prevalent of an idea it is in the Word, and I just thought about how totally unprevalent of an idea it is in our culture, how violent of a thought process it is to our own souls. And I had this session written out, and as I was getting kind of nearing a time where I was going to preach it, I just started to realize its connection to humility, and then the rest of the series kind of developed. So this was actually the first one that I had in mind, and not so much submission good, but really a pursuit of safety, and that the pursuit of safety requires submission, and that's really the direction that we're going to go tonight is how to find true safety. Now, as I was just thinking about that word safety, you know, as a believer, you know, what is the Narnia quote? Well, he's good, but he's not safe. There's nothing safe about our God. He is wild and out of control and will take you places you did not want to go. And so when we think about safety as a believer, it's not so much that my life circumstances are always going to be tranquil. Safety for the believer has so much more to do with how is my soul? What is the state of my soul? What is the state of my heart in responsiveness to God? And so as we start this message tonight or this session tonight, I just want us to focus on safety related to where is our soul at? How are we doing? And the verse in 3 John chapter 1 just kind of came to mind. 3 John 1 verse 2 says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." And I think about that verse sometimes, and I you know, there's kind of a few different categories of blessing or of safety that are listed off here. There's health, things going well in our life circumstances, and then he lists off this, that your soul would be getting along well. And I just keep coming back to, if I don't want to ever have to pick, I'd like all three. I'd like my health to be good, for my circumstances to be good, and for my soul to be good. But if I have to pick, I'm going to choose soul health 10 times out of 10, because I can survive the rest of it so long as my soul is well. And so in this series on humility and embodying humility, I want to connect tonight the subject of submission and how that causes our soul to prosper and to get along well. So first thing I want to just point out is the obvious. It's not a shocker here that this is a neglected subject. When you just hear the word submission, like, who wants to entitle a message submit? You know, who wants to hear that message? Well, congratulations, you're already seated, and I expect you to not leave, okay? But just this idea, it's a neglected subject, but I found it to be one that's, like, all over the Bible. The word submit, submission, submitting, it's a concept that is actually very biblical, but it's one that's neglected much in American speech, you know, in Christian talk. And in messages, because it's kind of violent. It's a violent word, actually. You know, I just cannot get away from the dog whisperer and how he puts his foot down on that dog's head and just puts it to the ground. You know, it's like, you will submit, Alpha. And this word submission, it's actually, when we're talking about submission to the Lord, when we're talking about submission to his purposes, it's actually the safest place we can be. And so while it's a neglected and even a despised subject, it's so valuable. It's so important that we learn how to do this. And again, tonight we will be tying that into humility. So it's an art form. I was thinking about it. It's like, because it's so counter to the way that we think, the way that we process life, what we want, it requires like significant heart gymnastics in order to get to a place of submitting to the Lord, to people, to whatever. I mean, submission is so, it has got to be one of the most counter-normal, counter-default ways about us, because our typical way is to just do whatever it is we were going to do, and submission would require the exact opposite. And so, of course, we don't like it. But I think it's an area of growth that we need. And I just want to say it this way. If we can find 10, 15, 100 verses on a subject, it's something that we need to take seriously. It's something that we need to have as a part of our life, something that we're striving towards, something that we are for sure not resisting or neglecting. And while this is a bit of a violent word and a violent concept, it's something that I believe actually is, it's for our good, and it's a revelation that we want to grow in. I kind of defined submission as best as I could, and so I just want to read it to you. Yielding of our will to another person. Yielding, the willful yielding, the choice. Accepting the authority of others above our own personal wants. To submit means to lay down our agenda and to follow the leadership of another, even when it disagrees with our opinions and our objectives. I'm going to read it again. I'm patting myself on the back. I really liked this definition. I read a couple of them, and I didn't like them. I was like, forget the dictionary. I'm going to try to think on this. What does it mean to submit? Yielding our will to another person. Accepting the authority of others above our own personal wants, to lay down our agenda and follow the leadership of another, even when it disagrees with our opinions and our objectives. It's a choice, not one, actually. It's a bajillion choices. A choice again and again and again, because how many of us with the Lord or with circumstances, with our any relationships, maybe we submit it at the beginning, but then a minute later we kindly, quickly unsubmitted and found our way out from underneath that thing that we submitted to. So it's not just a one-time decision. It's a lifestyle. It's lots and lots of choices all lined up together. Submission is a major part of humility, because humility requires that we lay down our own wants, desires, and needs, and then adopt something else, adopt another position. And so I want to read this verse in 1 Peter 5:6. 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." I really saw the picture of submission here, under God's mighty hand, and I just see the dog whisperer's hand coming down on that dog head. Humble yourselves. Don't fight. Don't struggle. Stop barking and yiping and trying to get out from underneath it. Humble yourself. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand. But what's interesting is Peter here is not saying, and you will humble yourselves or God's going to get you. He's saying, of your own choosing, humble yourself. Here comes God's hand. Choose it. Just lay down and let that hand come on your face and kind of squish it a little bit against the pavement. Like, humble yourself. It's a decision. It's a choice to submit ourselves. It's to follow him. It's to put his plans first, to trust him over our own plans. These are just ideas that we don't love. And they're so important because they create a different path for us. They actually set us on a different course entirely. The lesson I want us to take away tonight, if we got to get, you know, one, you know, kind of takeaway, the lesson I want us to get is that, this is just so honest talk here, talking about me, but I know you, I'm talking about you too, is we always think we know better. We always think that our way is best. The lesson I want us to take away tonight is that there's safety in submitting to his way. And we'll see how that broadens, not just staying at his way, but that his ways are communicated even through people. And therefore, we wind up needing to submit to people in order to accomplish his ways. But that we just think we know better. We think our way is best. And it's a roadblock, because if we are always convinced we know the right path, our way is best, we are right, if we're always convinced of that, we have nothing to learn. We have nothing to be benefited by others' opinions and others' information, including the Lord's. But it's a God-ordained strategy of how to orchestrate the kingdom. He uses the concept of humility as a requirement in order to be able to participate with the kingdom. In order to participate with God, in order to be able to do anything for him, in order to receive anything from him, it requires humility, it requires submission. And the arrogant person would never allow themselves to do the will of another person if it opposes their own will. Now, we'll go along with it so long as it's closely aligned with our will. But an arrogant person, I want it to hurt a little. Think about where this is you. Don't think about the arrogant person, you know, that guy that lives on the corner and always doing stuff. No, it's you. Find it in you. Search your own heart tonight. The arrogant person will not allow themselves to do the will of another when it opposes their own will. Look what Proverbs 13 says, though, about this. Where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those that take advice. Where there is strife, there is pride. You know, strife, the only reason you have strife is you've got two wills. Will one goes this way, will two goes this way, and they're not coming together. There's strife. And Solomon, smart guy, says, if you have strife, you have pride. Oh, no. That's because they're so dumb. It's because they've got such a bad idea about this. They have such a narrow view. They're so uninformed. And God says, no, you have pride. You have pride. Where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those that will take advice. Whether the advice comes from, pick a source. Wisdom comes from those who take advice. I just see so much of my soul very much disliking a few Bible verses right now and wanting to erase them. Like so much, like, strife, how dare you tell me I have pride. I don't have pride. Like, yeah, well, if you say it that way, I'm sure you don't. Mr. Proud. So wisdom is found in those that will take advice. See, this is a dividing line. This issue of submission, it is the issue of humility. Because in order to operate in humility, we must submit to the will of another. And that will of another, whether it's advice or it's a direct order, it's a Bible verse, it's submitting. It's submitting, and the Bible calls it wisdom. Oh, it's hard talk right there. All right. Well, let's start. We're going to break down the concept of submission into a few categories, okay? We're going to start with submitting to God, okay? Which actually, all of it goes back to submitting to God, but it does not end with submitting to God. That's where it starts. Then there's some additional categories that your Bible talks about that gets far more intrusive than submitting to God, because it starts talking about submitting to people. And we'll get there. But I want to start off with submitting to God, because if we can learn how to submit to God, if we can learn the value, see the value of it, and then learn how to do it, then it will be so much easier than to take the next couple of steps. And the Lord actually is the one instructing the whole matter. And so all of it is smart, all of it is God talk, all of it is discipleship, all of it is valuable. But if we can't start, if we can't do the big one, if we can't learn how to submit to the Lord and see the value of it, then there's no point even talking the rest of it. So James 4:7, just put it up there.
submit yourselves then to God. Submit. Oh my gosh, this word, submit. Here it is. It's in your Bibles a lot. I want to encourage you, take this study, take these notes, and then go find a few more verses on the word submit and other, kind of words that mean the same thing. This verse, submit yourselves to God. So here's what this means at the very just basic understanding of this word. It means you have ideas, you have desires, you have agenda. Submit it to God and let him win. No. I have ideas. Yet submit them to God. And no longer be about, I'm going to walk out my ideas. Submit them to him. And if his ideas are different than yours, and they often are, do his, not yours. But I've got these plans. I've got these plans. Submit them to the Lord. These heart attitudes, these desires in life, these things, submit them to the Lord. This is violent. This is lordship. I mean, the subject of humility is actually about who's your daddy. I mean, the subject of humility is all about you're in charge. You're big. I'm small. You win. Your ideas, your plans, whatever. You heard Amy talking, I think it was last Sunday, loved the illustration that she painted about driving down the road, and Gabby thought for sure we were going one place, and Amy's now going to a different place, and it's actually to do good things for Gabby, but Gabby doesn't know that, and so Amy's taking a right, and Gabby thinks she's supposed to be taking a left, and she's just melting down. She's like, no, this isn't the right way. And how many times in our life we raise our fist at God and go, you're not doing me right. You're not going the way you're supposed to go. Things are not going the way. And it's just like, instead, we just be in the car and go, right, huh? Wow. Didn't see, because I thought, sure, right. Let's do right. You're driving. You think right. Wow. Neat. Didn't see that one coming. Instead of this raging in our hearts, you're not doing me right. You're not giving me what I deserve. It's not going the way I wanted. I asked for this and you did that. There's all this accusation. It's pride. It's pride because we think we're smarter than God. We think we know what our life should look like, and that the way we would do our life surely would be better than the ultimate purposes of God. It's pride. Humility goes, wow, I didn't see that coming. Okay. This is the new plan. I'm going to roll with it. It's okay. It's not what I wanted. It's not what I thought. It's not where we were going. It's not. Okay. Submit yourselves to God. You know, I touched on it a minute ago. I think it was actually in Proverbs that we were looking at it. Let's put up Proverbs 13:18, because I think there is a connection between correction and submission. I feel like if we can take correction, we can for sure do the whole submission thing, because it's a part of it. But correction, like if we can take God saying, you're going the wrong way, you need to stop doing that. Whether it's a sin issue or you're thinking you're going to go take this job and God says, don't take that job, I want you to take this job, whatever it is. I think if we can take correction, that we can deal with submission at every turn. So let's just read this verse, Proverbs 13, verse 18. Whoever disregards discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. This issue of heeding correction, whether it comes from the Lord or from people, heeding correction, paying attention, receiving. Because ultimately, you want to know what submission is about? It's about new orders. It's about a new direction. I mean, it's not submission if you were already going to do that thing. There's no submitting. It's kind of like, oh, we're on the same page. Cool. The issue of submission doesn't even come up in the conversation. Submission happens when you're going left and the Lord says, and now we're going right.
and you go, these are new orders. This is a new direction. We are now doing something differently than we were doing before. And the heart posture of how we respond to that, submission is all about receiving new orders. And I want to get good at both. I want to get good at submitting to the Lord. I want to get good at receiving discipline from the Lord, from people, receiving advice. I mean, all these terms are all together. It's just kind of like all of these things are perhaps the same message or the same lesson at different levels on the scale. So we'll call advice the light version, okay? Then we'll call receiving correction somewhere in the middle, and then we'll call submission like here at the far end. But all three of them are actually the same thing. It's all the Lord, or you know, him using his people to try to help us to actually be in the place of safety. Safety. There is safety in submission. You know, oh, I'll save that. I'm going to get there in a minute. Let's keep going. All right. So part B. Do you love it when people who have a microphone have a conversation in their head out loud on a microphone as though you were part of the conversation in their head? That's an odd thing. Sorry. Okay. So part B, you don't have notes. You don't have notes. There's no part B for you. Okay, so submission to his discipline. This is where I want to start. Is submission to his discipline. So let's connect these two in a very real way. Hebrews 12, verse 9. This first area of submission that I want to talk about is actually specifically to the areas that he says, I want you to do this, not this. You're doing this wrong. And I just want to point out a couple of things. So Hebrews 12, verse 9. We've all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Here the author of Hebrews connects living unencumbered, living well, living free, having the fullness of life. That's what he means when he says and live. It doesn't mean that you're going to die tomorrow if you don't. Though the Lord, not normally anyway. Submit to the Father of our spirits and live. It's to live the fullness of what God has for us, to experience the wholeness of his purpose for our life. He says, our fathers disciplined us, and it was actually to teach us stuff that really mattered. And I just think about, you know, times where, you know, my girls will be in a busy parking lot and they try to run off and they get a sharp, no, come back here right now. And if they don't listen, there's disciplinary action. Why? I'm trying to keep them from getting run over by something bigger than them. It is a great kindness. It is safety. I am trying to keep them out of harm's way. I'm not trying to kill their joy. Like, the funnest thing in the world is to run around the parking lot, run amok, get run over. It's so much fun. Like, I'm not trying to keep them from fun. I'm trying to keep them alive. And so, just in this passage, we've all had fathers that tried to keep us alive, and we respected them for it once we got a little bit of wisdom. Oh, car big, me little, die bad. Got it. Okay. You like me. We respected them for it. How much more along this line of thought should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Submitting to his discipline. I just want to say this. Pride resists and fear runs. But it's wisdom to submit. It's wisdom to submit to his discipline. So here's what happens. The Lord disciplines us one way or the other. And the enemy immediately fires two darts at you. Typically, one right after another. The first is pride. That dart comes. It says, rise up against the Father and say no. Rise up. No. I have this right. Because of this, I did this. I rise up in pride. It's the first dart that's thrown. And what it causes us to do, pride causes us to resist. Second, fear. Darts thrown. Fear causes us to run away from God. So it's not a bold-faced resistance. It's a running. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. God's mad at me. It's a fear that causes us to run. Wisdom stares him right in the eyes and goes, let's do it. I love you. You love me. Let's do it. It is wisdom to receive his discipline, to receive it. Because him disciplining you doesn't mean you receive it, because you could still resist or run. but we want to receive. And the it's a decision. And so we want to receive the Lord's discipline as wisdom. It's wisdom for life. So the first is we want to submit to his discipline. Second, we want to submit to his ways. Let's read this verse, Proverbs 3:6. Proverbs is just filled with so much helpful insights, and it's awesome. Proverbs 3:6. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So your ways. So a minute ago, we were talking about submitting when he's disciplining, but now I want to talk about ways. Ways, it's your life. It's your decisions. It's the choices. If you've ever heard people say, oh, that's just their way, and that they have a way about them. You know, in all of your ways, and all the things that make you you. Now, this is pretty intrusive, because this isn't talking about sin or righteousness. This is just talking about your ways, your schedule, what you do and don't do, what you like and don't like. I mean, this is like you. This is God getting all up in your business. But here's what it says. I want this so bad. Oh my gosh. In all your ways, submit to him, and there's a promise. He'll make your paths straight. Do you know how janky my paths are sometimes? Oh, my crooked road. It's like I'm trying to get over there, and it somehow it just seems like this road is turning back over this way, and I'm trying to get over there. The crooked roads, all the pains and the problems and the... And God says, if you'll just submit to me, not just righteousness and sin, if you'll submit to me your plans. Yeah, but I got this plan. Just give it up. Just give up the plan. If you'll submit to me all of your ways, I'll make your path straight. I'll get you where you're actually supposed to be going. You want to get where you're supposed to be going, don't you? Yes, I do. Then stop trying to do it your way. Stop trying to come up with it your way. Just submit your plan. Submit all your ways, all your plans, and let me do it. And if you do, I'll make your path straight. I'll get you to the point that you're supposed to go. Here's what's confusing and difficult. If we try to enforce our plans, one, it probably won't happen. If it does, we'll be miserable. And three, we won't get where God was trying to get us, ever. Ever. He's trying to make our paths straight. He's got an objective for us. He's really smart. He's got his plans for our lives are so much better than our plans. This, not that. Well, I didn't think we were going to do that. Give it up. Doesn't matter. I love the stories of some of you in the room and the ways that the Lord led you and you thought, I would never do that. And then you did. I can remember, as Amy and I started, courting. And we just celebrated 10 years this week, 10 years anniversary. And so I can remember Amy and I courting, and because when our relationship began as friends, she was, much younger and I was doing youth ministry, the thought had always been very concrete in my head. That would never happen. I'd never even considered dating Amy. That was never, ever any thought in my head. And so I had said out loud, I would never do that. Like, I don't know how many times I said that. And then I remember when the Lord highlighted Amy and I was like, what? What? This is, I never considered doing that. I never considered going that direction. I never considered thinking that way. That was never in my thought or mind. And the Lord's like, well, this is what I have for you. Like, well, you're really, really smart. 10 years in marriage. And I'm so grateful to the Lord because of his wisdom. And I'll just tell you, I got that one right quick. I don't often, but I heard the Lord and it was a plan that was very different than my plan. And I was like, I trust you. This, I don't get it. That's different than what I was thinking. I am so grateful to the Lord because he's after my good. He's so much smarter than I am. His ways are higher. It's just good. And so in all your ways, submit to him and he'll make your path straight. I just see those two beautiful kids that I've got. I see this third one on the way. We've got the sonogram pictures. He's a handsome-looking fellow in there. He's got a lot of hair. And we've got, all this life that we built together. I'm just like, man, Lord, when we submit to your ways, you make everything straight. You make things beautiful in ways that we couldn't have ever imagined. but it requires us submitting to his purposes. So it's not just about righteousness and sin. It's about his plans for your life that look very different than what you thought those plans were going to be. He's better, smarter. Just give up. Just don't fight. It's so much better to go his way. Submit to his ways. Submit. It's so violent. I have a plan. I have an agenda. My life is going to go this way. And God says, give it all up and submit to me. Submit to my will. And it looks different often than yours. What you thought. Submit. Give it up. Lend it over. Give me the keys. Jesus, take the wheel. I mean, again and again and again, give him the wheel. Submit. All right. Next one. Submit to his word. Oh, there's so much safety here. This is the way to live, friends. This is a room that's pursuing this, but we need the reminder often because most people that you know are not really pursuing. Maybe we talk about it here and there, but not really pursuing this as a life policy. And that is submission to the word of God in every area of life as much as you can, as much as you are aware. I want to read this. James 1, 21 through 25. So just as we kind of intro on this, pride sees the word and resists it. Humility sees the word and submits to it, even when it's different than our will, our desires. Here's what it is. James 1. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word. It's talking about the Bible. We'll make that clear here in just a second. The word that's been planted in you. Humbly accept the word. Humbly accept the word. That really probably should have been the key phrase for this whole series. Humbly accept the word. Don't rebel against it. Don't try to think you're smarter than it. Accept the word. Humbly accept the word. That was planted in you, which can save you. Now, he's talking to believers, so this isn't like they need to give their life to Jesus today. That's not what he's talking about. Same thing as the verse we were reading earlier about submit to the Father of our spirits and live. It's have the abundance, have the fullness of life, have everything, have safety, all right? Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Don't just hear Bible teaching. Don't just come on Sunday nights and hear the Bible taught. Don't just hear it and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. It's submitting to the word of God. I just think about submitting to the word and the humble acceptance that the things that are written in this book are defining parameters for my life. So many times when we talk about our life, we mostly refer to our life as the stuff that we do, the places that we go, the people that we interact with. For sure, that's true. But at least 50% and arguably more of your life happens between your ears. It's what you're thinking. This Bible is in charge of what you think about, how you think, where you give your thoughts to, where you refuse to. That the Word of God has authority to lead us, to guide us. And if we'll submit to the Word, it has power to save us. It's safe. There is safe in humbly accepting the Word. Here's what humbly accepting is. I feel angry right now, and I want to meditate on anger. And the Bible says, forgive, don't sin in your anger, and work that anger out. Like, work on love instead. So what that means is, I feel angry, I want to be angry, I want to think about anger, and the Bible says, no, submit. Don't think about anger. don't meditate on that. And if it's not anger, it's this, it's that, it's whatever. Don't. Submit. And you'll live. Well, no, I really feel so justified right now to feel this way. And God says, if you'll just submit, you'll actually find safety. You'll be better off. The Bible wins. It's our guidebook, not just for how we live, not just for our decisions, but how we think and what we give ourselves to. And I just, it's the word, it's submit, submit to the word humbly and live. Last one that we'll look at in this section, then I'll touch on some relationship stuff and we'll wrap up, is the church, not just us as individuals. Now, this is something I want to tell you. It is an idea that is at its infancy right now, in my estimation. It's an idea that is still very much at its infancy, at least in the church in the West, and that is Ephesians 5:24, the church submitting to Christ. So not just us as individuals, but us corporately, as corporate entities, finding the will of God and together submitting to his purposes. You know, we talked about Revive Texas that came through town, and I really feel like in so many ways, the church did not submit to Christ. I just feel that in my heart. I'm like, I feel like the Lord was really giving the Church of Dallas-Fort Worth this awesome thing, but all of us as congregations had to make a decision. Are we going to do our will? Are we going to do the one that really seems like the Lord is doing something in the city? And we just said, mostly in the churches across Dallas-Fort Worth, mostly we said, we're going to still just do our thing. We're going to do our will. We're not submitting to the Lord. And so this is a pretty interesting situation, I think, is lacking in a lot of ways. But it also then applies back to the individual, because what it means is, as congregations, as the church of the region, as whatever ways that's going to be broken up, all the way down to the congregational level, we're supposed to be trying to figure out what the will of God is, and then doing it together. It's one of the reasons we talk about 1, 2, 3 every Sunday, because we think that's what the will of God is for our church that we're supposed to be submitting to. We're supposed to be here on Sunday nights. We're supposed to be in small groups, and we're supposed to be committed to a prayer meeting a week over the prayer room. We think that's what God is doing. Like, we don't say that just so we've got, that's our thing. You know, if you're going to have a website, you're going to have a church, you got to have a thing. Like, oh, I don't care about a thing. We're trying to submit to the Lord's will for us. And it's a significant point that the church is supposed to be following that same line of thought. I want to talk about authority of those over us, because if we can get this, the same Bible that says submit to God also says submit to people. And this is where it gets so much tougher. Because submit to God, no one in their right mind would out loud say, I'm not going to do that. That's bad. That's not good Christian teaching, submit to God. But when it gets to people, we come up with every excuse in the world. And look what the word says regarding governmental authorities. Romans 13:5 and 1 Peter 2:13, if we can get those up, thank you. It is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Submitting to the authorities. If you find folks that have a very difficult time submitting to authorities, they can't submit to God if they can't submit to people. It's because God's the one that orchestrated it. 1 Peter, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. Every human authority, whether to an emperor or as the supreme authority. So, to every human authority. So wherever there is human authority, you walk into a Kroger, they're in charge, not you. You don't make the rules. You don't try to, change the prices on stuff. And it's like, they're the authority. You walked into their store. They're a human authority in there. The police driving down the road, they're authority in our city. The governmental officials, their authority, submit to them. Next, church elders. And I want to differentiate where the scripture talks about two different groups of leaders. One, it specifically talks about elders. And then another time, and not just once, it talks about leaders. And I want to differentiate. When it talks about elders, it's talking about the senior leadership over ministries. Elders were those that were giving the most senior level of leadership to a church in a city. Okay? And so when you're talking about elders, the idea, to kind of translate it over a little bit into our modern context and not lose the value of what the word says, because we don't mostly, not everybody walks around, you know, elder this and elder that. It's not titles that we're so familiar with. But the concept is, that is the senior leadership within church ministries in the area. Here's what it says. James 4:6. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but he shows grace to the humble. Now, for sure, this verse is talking about those that are older than us. But there's a number of verses that talk about the leadership role of elders in the church and submitting to those elders as giving, you know, their leadership a significant place in our life. And I just want to tell you this. It is frequent that it's an issue of conscience. I'll say it that way. It's an issue of conscience that people will be a part of a church and the leadership of that church is making things very clear about, you know, what we're trying to accomplish and where we're going. And the idea is, well, because they haven't come and talked to me personally about this thing, I don't have to do it. That's pride. It's arrogance. And so when we do the 1, 2, 3 every week, like, I actually hope and believe no one would ever have to have a follow-up conversation with you. That you just hear it and go, that's what we're doing here. That's the leadership of this church. That's a direction that we're going. Is we're doing this thing together. But there's a second category that I think gets a whole lot more personal, a whole lot more in our face. And it's found in Hebrews 13:17. You guys are familiar with the verse. But this makes things so much more personal than having to hear from one of the lead, you know, pastors of a ministry or you know, the director of this or the president of that Bible school or whatever. This makes it a lot more day-to-day. Hebrews 13:17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. This word submit, it's so tough. It's the same word that we were looking at before when we were talking about God. Submit to God, it says submit to your leaders. Not only does it say submit to your leaders, but recognize that your leaders, they have an authority in your life and that that's a good thing from God. It's not a bad thing. It's not they're here to, you know, keep you from this. No, it's safety. In fact, there is great lack of safety. What would harm? Potential danger. Danger. That's the word I was looking for. There's great danger in not having authority in our lives. Because then we're an island to ourselves. We are the smartest person. We are the final decision maker. We are in charge. It's all about us and God. And all the verses in the New Testament that talk about the role of leadership have been completely extracted and they have no value. Why? Because we're in charge. We're the authority in our life. And God says, what about all those verses about submitting? And here it says, submit to their authority. Why? Because they keep watch over you, and they're going to have to give an answer for that watch. Do this that their work would be a joy and not a burden, because that would be of no benefit to you. Let me tell you what this verse means. This is so good. This is like awesome, safety, encouraging, okay? When your leaders, small group leaders, a leader in your life, whoever, when your leaders say, hey, I know you think this is a good idea, but you really ought to do this, and they're wrong, and they're dumb. Wrong and dumb, okay? Submit to their authority and tell God, I'm going to do this wrong, dumb thing because you told me to submit to the leader that's in my life, and they're not doing this because they're mean. They're doing it because they're dumb. They're doing it because they're wrong. But they're doing it with a good heart. They're trying to look out for me. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to trust you to deal with them if they got it wrong. And God says, perfect. I love it. That's good. You'll be in charge of some people here in just a minute, and let's hope that you go a little bit light on that because you'll be in a place of leadership in a minute and hope that those that you're leading don't. Anyway. Have confidence in your leaders. Submit to their authority. You know, the issue is it's pride. It's pride. It's pride every time. A leader in our life says left. We say right. And they say, no, really left. and we go, I'm smarter than you. I know what God wants better than you do. How arrogant are you? Like, really, how arrogant? What about all these verses about taking advice and taking counsel? What about all that? No, I'm smart. I'm better. I've got it. It's arrogance. It's pride. You're killing all the humility. You're totally, you're like, no, because my life, my decisions, my this, my that, it's all about you, isn't it? You're all consumed with you. Instead, trust. Have confidence in your leaders. I can just tell you this, there have been a number of times where leaders in my life have said left, and I was like, you know, I was really thinking right. I was like, you need to go left. And I was like, I know what the Bible says, so I'm going to do it. I think you're wrong, but okay, we'll go left. If you say so. And I'm so glad I went left, because I was the idiot. It was me. I was the dummy. I didn't see it. I thought for sure I knew right. They knew better. They knew better. And it was God who put them in my life to keep me safe, to protect me from me. God likes me so much. He put leaders in my life. And we're supposed to submit to their authority. And it's because they're keeping watch. It's God keeping watch over us through humans. Do you understand that? It's not, they're not bad. They're not mean. No, because if I do this, then this and this, it'll work out. Just trust God. Just trust that God put them in your life. And if you do the dumb thing they asked you to do, it's still going to work out. It'll be okay. Because so many times, it's actually the Lord making your path straight because that thing you wanted to do was wrong. Not morally, most times. It was a decision you were going to make that was going to lead you away from God's purposes for your life, though you were confident it was the right way. You're wrong. You're wrong. Just like I've been wrong. That's what humility is. We're all wrong. We try to follow the Bible, and we learn to submit, and there's safety when we do. I've got so many more Bible verses, and we're not going to look at any of them. They are fun, though. Man, go find you some submit Bible verses and have yourself a good little read.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.